a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Neville Arena time is 21:21 Central Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Origin True podcast, still harbored by the friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Origin Truthers. It is I, SonicCrow2 on Twitter, at SonicCrow on Venmo. It is a lovely, gentle night because what's next to me, via the magic of the internet, is the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for sticking to basketball.
And Sunbelt champs, Troy Trojans. It was a good time Saturday.
The other side of me is longtime guest of the show. This is like a, and also starring part of an old 90s sitcom. It is James Jones.
Guys, I didn't shoot a 46 in a scramble this weekend, but I was there when supposedly somebody did.
With multiple holes in one.
Yeah. This is a deep golf TikTok Instagram reference that probably two people get. But I didn't even know it was a thing outside of that until Ryan told me about it Sunday morning, and then I had to tell him that I played in it.
That's so amazing. All right. Guys, tonight we have a couple things we want to get done. Number one, we're going to talk basketball. Auburn played a number of games last week and has another number of games. Well, one is a number, Ryan.
You're right.
One game.
We played a number of games.
We played a positive non-zero integer of games last week. We've got the same coming up this week.
We scored enough points that it was like we played two games.
Yeah, Auburn figured out an offense last week.
More than double what we scored against Northwestern.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. But before we do, let's take a little bit of time to play a game. So as some of you who are listening to this know, we record this on Monday nights. Monday was the day the portal officially opened in college football, and thousands of kids jumped into it. Kids we've heard of, kids you think you've heard of because you follow AU Nerds recruiting, but let's see how well James and Ryan do know the portal kids. We're going to play a game called, is this kid currently in the transfer portal, or is this the name of a professional cyclist? And the way this game works is I'm going to name a name. Like I might say, Richard Carapaz. Richard Carapaz, is that a former three-star tight end who was transferring from Louisville? Or is he a cyclist? And then Ryan would give an answer. James will give another answer, and I'll tell you who's right. So in that one, Ryan, what do you think? Richard Carapaz.
It's a cyclist.
James?
I would agree.
That is correct. You boys would both be getting 1 point. And that is how the game is played. Richard Carapaz, former Giro d'Italia winner. The only Grand Tour winner from the nation of Ecuador. Has a name, a day named after him in the nation of Ecuador. So he is a big deal. Now, let's get started. So that was easy mode. First one we're going to do is Mark Pope. Mark Pope, is Mark Pope riding for former Team Sky, current Team Ineos, the Grenadiers, or is he transferring from Miami? Is he a transfer portal kid, or is he a cyclist?
Ryan. This is James first, or is this me?
This is Ryan first.
Man, Mark Pope, that sounds like a Georgia tight end, but you say in Miami, that throws me off a little bit. I'm going to say this is a cyclist.
I would agree. That name is too English.
Mark Pope is transferring. Actually, I was wrong. He's transferring from Jackson State. He started out at Miami, then went to Jackson State, and is now back in the portal.
I wonder where he's going.
Former Miami wide receiver transferring from Jackson State. All bets show Colorado, I'd imagine. If he is next.
I don't know. Deion told some of those guys they're not good enough to go with him. So,
I mean, from guys, Coral Gables to Jackson, Mississippi to Boulder, Colorado is a way to see the country.
Yeah, if you're trafficking in weight.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Here we go. Carlos Rodriguez. Carlos Rodriguez transferring out of Florida State? Or is Carlos Rodriguez a Spanish cyclist?
Do I go first this time?
James.
I'm just going to go cyclist again.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say it's a football player.
Carlos Rodriguez is a professional cyclist.
Ah, I'm terrible with games.
He is not transferring from his team. He's staying where he's at. All right, so that is James has a lead of, I believe, 1-0.
1-0.
2-1.
So, or 2-1. Okay, yeah. So what was –
it was 1-0. Yeah, we both got the first one wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
1-0.
I'm an idiot.
All right, here's one. Does this player have 3 years of eligibility remaining, or is he a professional cyclist? Marquise Brunson. Marquise Brunson, is that a pro cyclist, or is that a former linebacker from the All-American? I don't actually know what conference the school would be in, but is that a former linebacker?
See, I think you know what conference the team's in.
Okay.
You're good with the logos, though. Maybe not conferences. Realignment's probably gotten by you.
Ryan, Marquise Brunson. Did I do a really good job selling that as a pro cyclist?
No, he's a linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say football player.
You guys are both right. That is a Liberty University defensive
player. Oh.
I actually don't know what conference Liberty plays in, to be
honest. And they were independent.
They're going to one yet.
CUSA.
Okay. All right. Is Justin Jacobs a linebacker transferring out of the Big Ten, or is Justin Jacobs writing for Team EF Education First Drapac Cannondale next year? They got to shorten the name.
It's a great name, though.
Yeah.
What was the middle word there?
Drapac. Actually, I think they're not Drapac anymore. That's actually a guy's name. I don't think he's sponsoring them next year.
Cannondale's a bike, right?
Yep. They've been riding Cannondale bikes for 10 years.
That sounds like a third-tier English soccer team.
Justin Jacobs?
Also, yes.
No. England or Cannondale.
Cannondale AFC.
Yeah.
They're mid-table in League One.
Yeah. Actually, they were a American-made bicycle brand for years and years and years until like 8 years ago. They started being made in Taiwan along with every other bike. There's just one factory in Taiwan, by the way, that makes like every single bike. They just put different logos on them.
That sounds about right. Justin Jacobs?
Justin.
Cyclist.
J-E-S-T-I-N.
Oh, good catch. I thought it was Justin.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I'm going to agree. Justin's a cyclist.
Justin Jacobs is a University of Iowa linebacker transferring straight to the portal. Big guy.
I am, one of four right now?
Yeah, this is a good game, you guys.
You're what, two? You got 2 points there, James?
I have two.
All right, 2-1. This is a very Iowa score that we're right now.
All right, let's see. Can you get Jai Hindley? Is Jai Hindley a former four-star corner who's transferring out of the Pac-12? Or is Jai, is it Hindi? No, I said it right. Hindley, Jai Hindley. Or is he a professional cyclist? Let's come up with a team. Bora Hans Groa.
No, you're not that sneaky. It's a cyclist.
Oh, I've lost my page.
Yeah. I see what you're doing there, girl.
Yeah, he's being too obvious about trying to fake us out. I would say cyclist.
You guys are right. Jai Hindley is an Australian cyclist for Bora Hans Groa.
For Bora?
So Bora. Bora is a German
Bora Bora.
Sinks and like stove manufacturer, and Hansgrohe is a very expensive German like faucets manufacturer. Yeah. If you,
the more you know.
They sell them in the United States, and they're like, you can get a shower head. It's like $4,000. It's not a, it's an expensive thing.
So it's a shower head for your yacht.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's keep it going. My phone dropped my cycling right. website.
3-2. Got to catch up somewhere.
All right. Michael Matthews. Is Michael Matthews transferring, or is Michael Matthews a professional cyclist?
I knew a Michael Matthews in college. I was lab partners with him in Chem 2.
Yeah, that's too generic. Like, that's honestly, that's probably both.
That kid went to Oak Mountain.
It's probably both.
Like, can you prove it's not?
Let me see. Look at the other one. That's funny. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, is it my turn to go first?
Oh no, you're right. It's James's turn. It's James's
turn.
I'm gonna go football. He's in the transfer portal.
Okay. Ryan.
I'm gonna go cyclist because I need a point.
Michael, nickname Bling Matthews, is a sprinter in professional cycling. He is an Australian.
And I still didn't know where Bling. You were going after you said sprinter.
And his name is Bling.
Yeah,
Bling
he Matthews. Said Bling Sprinter. I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Still don't know.
Yeah. All right.
So all right. That is
3-3. 3-3? I'm glad somebody's keeping score. I got two more. So right. I guess it could end in a tie. But I can maybe come up with a third. Three more.
A very World Cup of you.
Yeah. Graham Mertz.
Too easy, Crow. Too easy. Okay. Quarterback at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Confirmed.
All right. There you go.
In the same recruiting class as Bo Nix, I believe.
Yeah.
Part of the worst quarterback class of all time.
Yeah. They were both 5 stars and not so much.
So we're still tied. The two questions remaining. Claude Larkins. Larkins transferring from a school in the East Coast, or is he a ride for a Spanish team? Which one?
I'm going to say cyclist.
He plays lacrosse at Georgetown.
He might. He is actually
cyclist. If it's not clear,
he is actually transferring from the North Carolina State University Wolfpack. He is a defensive lineman. You know, both got that one. So we're still tied with the last question. All right.
What basketball team was it that had a guy that was his? He went by four. It was like Butler or somebody like that.
Like FOUR4?
Yeah, because he was whatever his name was, the fourth, but instead of calling him like his first name or a derivative of the first name, they just literally called him four.
That's amazing.
It's a new one to me.
All right, here we go. Magnus Sheffield. Is Magnus Sheffield a very Norse-sounding cyclist? Or a very Norse-sounding inside linebacker transferring from a powerhouse in the Midwest?
This isn't Gary Sheffield adopting a chess grandmaster.
Is Magnus Sheffield an American cyclist? Is Magnus Sheffield a... American middle linebacker?
Magnus Sheffield is a football player.
Well, in the interest of giving us a result, I will go the opposite way. I do know that Magnus Sheffield has to be an American name, because who would have last name Sheffield and then name someone Magnus?
Gary Sheffield's son, I'm telling you.
Other than my beloved country, so I'll say cyclist.
Magnus Sheffield is an American cyclist riding for Ineos Grenadiers. He was born in Pittsford. He was born on the 19th of April, 2002. He is a 20-year-old American cyclist.
Born 1 month before I graduated high school.
Yeah, one of the next greats. He is ranked 83rd in the world by Pro Cycling Stats.
He does not look 20.
A lot of miles in those legs for 20 years old. Yeah. Riding for a British team, American kid with a Norwegian name. What are you going to do? So that means James Jones, our special guest, we let the guests win, winning the cyclist or transfer portal kit. I almost, my favorite name wins. That I saw, my favorite name that I saw on the transfer portal list was Joko Philip. I was like, wait, that's one of ours. They're going to guess him.
I want to say he was in our original Star Wars recruit game.
I think you're right. I think you are right. And speaking of which, we've got a lot of transfer portal kids from the University of Alabama. The capstone is just leaking talent. Did Nick go in there and tell him, give him a Coach Prime moment, and tell him you got to leave? Or is it going down with a whimper? Call us at 888-ORANGE-AND-TRUE, 888-ORANGE-AND-TRUE. Let us know what you got to say about that.
I was hoping you were going to figure out how to convert that into numbers real quick.
No, I can't convert the numbers.
Well, you know, they got a lot of guys opting out, got a lot of guys in the transfer portal. Line's only 6. I think everybody's come around to, hey, Kansas State's probably going to want to play this ball game against Alabama, and Alabama might not.
Emol.
Mm-hmm. Emol, indeed.
I literally swore off ever rooting for Kansas State ever again, only to now be able to regain doing it. And I was not going to do it because they beat TCU. And I thought, if they beat TCU and it allows Alabama to back into this stupid thing, I will never allow myself to cheer for the Wildcats ever again.
Hey,
but now we're back. Now we're back.
I am team purple this offseason or postseason.
Yeah.
Go Frogs. Go Cats.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I want TCU to win the national championship.
That would be great.
For a number of reasons, like so many reasons. Number one, it just puts a huge poke in the eye of University of Texas and also Auburn for not hiring Sonny Dykes. And number two, just a hilarious turn of events for a guy going from SMU to TCU and turning him into a national champion. Number three, it's not Georgia. So,
yeah,
it's a good reason as any. But we're not talking football today. Next week, we'll talk a little bit of football, probably. We might get AU Nerd on here and talk a little bit of recruiting. Maybe talk about the filled out coaching staff.
I might be sick next week.
To see what Cadillac, the true coaches has put together for a staff around him. Not the shadow coach, but the real coach. Actually, he would be the shadow coach in this scenario. Shadow coach is a great name for a novel. All right, we're talking basketball.
It's a John Grisham novel.
Ryan, what do you have for us as far as Auburn's dominant win over the Toothpaste Men?
We finally shot well. That's the synopsis of the entire game is Auburn hit shots. Talked about last week, Colgate's going to be a team that also shoots well and just a typical small East Coast school that's athletic and, you know, passes the ball well. They did that. Still scored 66 on Auburn's defense, which is the most anybody scored all year. Not the gauntlet, but we hadn't really played a gauntlet yet, but still 66 points for Colgate. Good showing, but 9-3 for Auburn. Hit what felt like as many threes as they have the rest of the season combined in this one. I don't know. It was fun to just kind of, after the stress of last week, just kind of go and watch Auburn basketball beat up on some small school kids.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Garrett Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, it was the perfect capper to the week. It was nice having a little Friday night basketball. You know, you get through the non-conference slate, and then you just kind of get in a rhythm of it's Tuesday or Wednesday and then Saturday. And then that's just, you know, that's what we're playing every single week. Yeah. It's nice to, you know, just have a little Friday game thrown in there. And yeah, it was one where, I mean, everybody played. I don't think anybody had a bad game. I mean, yeah. I guess, you know, Zepp was a little quiet. He was one of three from the field, but it was a three. And he had had a couple of rebounds. But, you know, it was a quiet night, but he also was playing solid man-on-man defense. So
yeah, I mean, the only bad thing in this game, I would say, is, you know, KD getting his bell rung at the end of the half. But the quote, did you guys catch Bruce's quote post-game on that? He is talking about that play, and KD, he's like, yeah, you know, KD got shook up, kind of had his bell rung, but honestly, his bell's always rung, so he looked pretty normal to me.
Wow.
Yeah, one of my favorite games from him in since he's been here. My number one is still the Oklahoma game last year. That was my favorite. But
it's his best game since the injury in February last year.
Yes. And if I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if he hits 4 out of 5 threes every single game, I don't think we're going to lose.
It's a pretty good bet, James. Pretty good bet. You know, you're our shark here. I'd be curious how you would handicap that. If you can guarantee a 4 or 5 game for KD, what are our odds?
I mean, we could still get beat if just like nobody else could throw it in the ocean. But
if nobody else can throw it in the ocean, though, you know, KD is not just going to be 4 or 5. He's going to be 12 or 15 at that point.
Yeah, if we consistently get 80%, you know, that's when you just you tell him to shoot every time down the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, the key is an aggressive KD, whatever that means, whether that's an aggressively shooting KD or an aggressively attacking the basket KD. As long as he's aggressive, good things seem to happen when he has the ball. It's when, I mean, he is one of the most aggressive guys on the team, so that's easy to say. But there are times in games where he gets a little bit passive, and Auburn really needs him to be that kind of Tasmanian devil animal from the Muppet Babies. To just kind of go in there and get things done.
Yeah, and you know, to me, the moment of the game is he gets isolated on the wing against Colgate's center, and really their backup center, I think. But it was 55, the huge guy. And the guy like looks at him and then just backs up, like literally starts to jump out on him for you know, as he's looking at a three. And then backs up 2 steps, and KD like literally like points at him, says, all right, and cans it, and then turns around as if to ask the crowd, did y'all see what this gentleman just did to me on offense?
In those exact words, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing.
But what I appreciated the most is that, you know, KD learned from mistakes. When he's going to say things like that, just turn away from the ref. Don't get a tech like you did earlier this year. You can still say those things. Just, you know, redirect them a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only redirect and change. Basketball player I've ever known to get a tech and a friendly, too. So.
Yeah. This team looks a lot like last year's team in some ways. KD is still KD. But there are some major differences. And one of them, I would say, is this team is somehow more attacking on defense.
This team has shored up any defensive concerns there may have been last year. And, you know, obviously Walker and Jabari are elite pairing in the front court, but they're at the point now where I trust essentially everybody on the court to hold their own against anybody else they're playing. They help when they need to help. They very rarely just blow assignments. And when it has happened, it's been the freshmen. And so I'm a little more forgiving of that. I mean, you've seen it from Westry and Traor and Donaldson a few times, but that's what non-con's for. They're learning. But everybody else, I mean, they are just vicious on ball. We're second in the country in stocks for a reason. And that's just because Houston is at an absurd pace with steals right now. But it seems like the last few years we've had one or two really good or great defenders, like on the Okoro team. Him or Samir could really kind of guard anybody, and you'd feel good about that. Now it's 1 through 10. I feel great with this defense.
Yeah, and you feel good about them guarding anyone. I mean, you go back to the Memphis game, it was Janai getting switched on to Yuri Collins. And
St. Louis.
St. Louis, sorry. Yeah. And then you go, there were points in this game where we're setting a trap at half court and Dylan's part of the trap. And how in the world do you ever get around someone else and Dylan?
Wendell had a block in this game.
He did.
It's amazing. Yeah, I think this was the best game we've played all year. And Colgate's not a bad team. Like, they'll
more than likely be a tournament team. Not because they're top 60 in KenPom or anything, but they're the best team in their conference.
I mean, they run really good stuff. They pass the ball well, and they would get buckets off of just how well they move the ball and how well they cut, doing little stuff like that. It was just when Auburn would shut that stuff off, or when they wouldn't quite have the perfect rhythm to it, that was when they get in trouble.
So Colgate right now, including this game against Auburn, they're seventh in the country in 3-point percentage at 41%. That would be amazing if our whole team could do that, or if one player could do that even. And they're 27th in assist rate. So it's exactly what we saw. They're hitting the extra passes. They're making shots. But when you're Auburn, they're not going to hit the shots that they were, and especially not in the paint. So you're going to make them try and rain threes. And they did for a little bit. I think at halftime, the combined 3-point shooting was over 50% for these two teams.
Yeah, they were 4 of 7. We were 7 of 12.
Yeah. So just Auburn, when you run into that with Auburn, it's, you know, if they're shooting well, there's not really anything you can do to stop them. But yeah, it was just a fun overall game. Everybody contributed, like James said. I don't really know what else to take away from it. Alan Flanagan, once again, just looked great. 2 out of 3 from three. Great defense. Only one turnover, which is huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's up to, I think, like 38% from three. That is a huge development for this offense. If that keeps up, I mean, not a super high volume, but I don't really care. I mean, if he's taking 3 to 4 threes a game and hitting, you know, two of them, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, those of us that stayed behind Al, kept receipts on some other people, not necessarily y'all too, but we remembered what everybody said last year.
I mean, I was pretty tough on him last year. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not going to say saw the final product the whole time, but he's showing out right now.
Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, even last year there were glimpses of him being a good player. He's always been a good defensive player, a smart defensive player who does the right rotation, is in the right position when he needs to be. He just misses shots on offense and sometimes plays a little too out of control outside of his game.
And I think people see him as this athlete that we've been with now for 4 years, and they're expecting something out of him without appreciating how talented he actually is. Like, don't, like, you're, they're expecting something else instead of saying, well, actually, he's really good the way he is. Like, we need him to be what he is. A good version of Flan gets this team far, as opposed to him trying to play a different brand of basketball and be somebody he's not. Definitely. I think this team playing like yesterday, like they did against Colgate, goes a long way. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
And, and mind you, we were short Jalen Williams in this game too. So
that's true.
Who's been our best player?
Yeah,
maybe most consistent of the season.
But yeah, down a man at the four. Treyor played well. Chris Moore played well, stepping in to start there or at the four.
Yeah.
And once again, I mean, I know I've said it a couple times now. Wendell Green he's not there yet. He is transforming into Jared Harper in front of our eyes. He's making just absurd plays at the basket. He's hitting all the guys in transition and in the half court that, you know, they're not Sharif Cooper level assists, but he's not making near the mistakes he was last year. He's getting to the foul line now too. That was kind of something we were missing last year, is a guard who could go to the basket and either score or take the foul. You know, we were uber reliant on either Jabari or, you know, somebody having a red hot night shooting, but this is how you mitigate that. Is it's a lot easier to shoot from the free throw line for most of these guys.
People not who are the anti Wendell Green crowd is seeing its stock go down faster than FTX. Like, we are seeing him come into his own. And it is, he's a fun guy to watch. Like, this is, Wendell Green is worth the price of admission. He's the kid who keeps Auburn in games. He did it last year a bunch of times. He's going to do it again this year, where it's like, if there's one guy on our team that can just say, okay, I'm taking this game over and I'm going to score the next 6 points, he's one of those guys. KD is also sometimes.
You never know what's going to happen for KD, though.
It's right.
Just,
yeah.
Just out of nowhere. Wendell, he's who you're turning to in big spots now. And it's pretty obvious, I think. I mean, just seeing how the team looks when he's not on the court, and that's not a slight to anybody else, but it just doesn't flow the way it should, I think.
No, it doesn't. And it's, I think that's a combination of having trying to run two freshman point guards.
Right.
Because at this point, the back of the point guards are Westry and Donaldson.
Right.
I think if you put Zepp Jasper in that role, you wouldn't see as much of a drop off, but I don't think it's time to punt on that move yet.
Definitely not. No, and I think Zepp's still settling in to being a full-time shooting guard. And the flexibility in the backcourt now is absurd. I mean, you have five guys with point guard ability. But, I mean, if you include Al, because he played it for a full year 2 years ago, Zepp, Wendell, Chance, Trey, and then, you know, KD can run it in transition, no problem. It makes it really hard for defenses to key in on one playmaker.
It makes Auburn impossible to full court press.
Right. If you trap somebody, there's still going to be another guard who can distribute, and they're going to have numbers at that point.
They can play point. Yeah. They can shift to go, okay, now he's point.
Yeah.
He can initiate the offense.
I'm comfortable with literally any scholarship player on the roster bringing the ball up the floor, other than like Broom, Cardwell, and Treyor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird spot to be in, but yes, you're absolutely right. We got like eight guys that I'm okay with taking the ball across half court.
And that helps your transition offense too, because you don't have to find the point guard. You know, If KD and Flanagan have, you know, an open court 2-on-1, they can run it. It's fine.
My hot take on this team is Wendell Green last year, you could tell one of his biggest problems was maybe that he's never been on a team where he wasn't the best player on the team. And last year was probably the first time in his life that that wasn't the case. And he didn't quite adjust the way that everyone thought he should to something that he had never experienced before. That no longer is the case. So now he knows he's maybe back to being that guy. And so he's playing in a much more comfortable setting because this is the way he's probably been since he was in the sixth grade. He's never been on a basketball team in which Wendell Green Jr. wasn't the guy that got the ball across half court, took every shot, made every assist, made every play until last year. Because when he transferred from Western Kentucky,
Eastern Kentucky.
He was the guy on that team before he transferred to Auburn. So, like, legitimately, even at the college level, he had never been on a team that he wasn't the man until last year. And so he's probably more comfortable in this role.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him get into SEC play. I know he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after the way some of that went down towards the end of the year last year. He gets shots at redemption pretty quickly once we get into conference games too, because it's Florida is the first game and Arkansas is the third game, I believe. Those were, you know, the two games last year where end of half, end of game scenarios kind of fell through the cracks with him playing. I don't get the sense that's going to happen this time around.
Yeah. So who we have coming up?
We got our biggest opponent of the year so far. We're going up to Atlanta, taking on Memphis. Have you guys looked at their roster at any point this year?
Nope.
No.
Okay. They have 11 guys that play. Take a guess at how many of them are seniors.
One.
I'm looking at the show notes, so I will.
We'll abstain. Crow, 11 players in the rotation, 10 of them are seniors.
Wow.
There is one freshman, Jonathan Lawson. Everybody else, now some of them are transfers. It's not like they've all spent 4 years at Memphis, obviously. Very veteran team. That profile's really similar to Auburn. Offensively, they are a great shooting team, but they take care of the ball. They can kind of get to the basket, rebound well. Don't take a ton of threes at all. And then defensively, they're a top 20 unit. Great in the paint, which is interesting because they're not very tall. They still get a lot of blocks. Low 2-point percentage allowed. This is going to look like an Auburn playing Auburn just about. I mean, a little more experience, a little less upper end talent probably, but should be a good one. It's on NBA court too.
Well, I wonder if any pros will be there. Like last time played in Atlanta, KD showed up.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the Hawks schedule is this week, but
you see the Hawks, Trae Young got in a fight with their head coach.
Not in an actual like fisticuffs fight. They just disagreed on, the severity of the shoulder injury is kind of what it comes down to.
He just like didn't turn up to the next.
So he told him either come to shoot around or don't come at all. And he's like, well, I'm too injured to come shoot around, so I'm not going to come at all.
Not a game.
Shoot around.
Yeah.
Shoot around.
Yeah.
Me thinks somebody's having a, a contest of who has a stronger will.
Yeah. And we'll see who lasts.
Yeah.
Probably not the coach.
Guys, all I see is that Memphis' free throw defense is 171st. And they're up against a team that has the number one free throw defense in the country.
That is true.
55%.
But doesn't that have a lot to do with playing a lot of games in the jungle?
I think I mean,
no more than
that's all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's played, were we 8-0 now? We've played six of them at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
and really,
that's not an answer.
It's St. Louis shooting like one of 11 or one of 10 or whatever that was. And then Colgate shot 8 of 19. So it's really
been going into that, it looks like I see a lot of 60%. South Florida, just a bad offensive team in general, was 52%. But yeah, it's obviously there's nothing really to that except for a home court advantage, which in non-con isn't that big of a deal. It's not like we're playing top 10 matchup for the arenas.
I don't know. I mean, there's sold some out. Legendary trash talkers on this team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on the team, yes. Yes, I do agree there. And it helps having Derek Hall, a couple feet away, shouting at him a little bit. But
he's got to be the number one fan. Like, I don't know how NIL works. I'll be the first to admit that. But somebody should be sponsoring Derek Hall to be going to these away games. At some point, can't that be happening? Get Derek Hall in Atlanta. Get Derek Hall to Tuscaloosa. Get Derek Hall everywhere we go.
I'll text him and see if he wants to go with me. I'll pay for his ticket if he wants to come sit with us.